Unscripted.
Unshackled.
Uncouth.
What you're about to hear is for mature ears only.
It's Miguel Fuller.
I would show anything. I'd show my hee-hee and my hoo-hoo and my ha-ha.
Holly O'Connor.
Hey, Daddy, you want to take this to the bedroom?
And Scotty the Body.
I am officially not only the grill daddy, but I'm a hot grill daddy.
Oh, wow.
It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
Only from Hot 101.5, Tampa Bay's new hip music.
Well, hello. We are back after a small spring break hiatus.
Yeah.
Everyone's taken their couple days of spring break here and there, enjoyed themselves. And we'll dig into that if we have time today. We're going to be running a little short today because, of course, the first week back, it's just been like pandemonium as we're trying to do a podcast.
A lot
so
of
we're
going
to try to squeeze it all in there. And we have some special guests joining us here in a little bit. We have Kramer and Jess, our radio friends that are in Baltimore. We're going to talk to them about some pop culture stuff. Mm. And they're going to be calling in just whenever they get done with their show. So
Do they go like straight up to 10?
Yeah. Yeah. So we both were like, because Kramer texted me and was like, hey, I want to talk to y'all about this Colton thing with The Bachelor. And I was like, I literally have about 15 minutes to talk to you before.
You're like, girl, you better hurry it up.
And then we were like, oh, we're doing our podcast. So let's just do it together.
Yeah.
So before we get into everything, you can always catch Miguel and Holly Uncensored on the Miguel and Holly YouTube channel because we film it and then it's posted up there. And obviously you can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcast, everywhere. And we always ask you to please leave a review when you do listen, if they allow you to on a platform. So leave us like a 5-star rating if you like it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, just don't.
Just shut your mouth.
Did
your mother tell you if you have nothing else to say, don't say anything at all?
Shut your mouth. And here is a rating that we just got recently from Big Boy C08. I really love decoding people's Apple usernames.
Yeah.
Because especially for sort of older millennials like myself and Holly, who've had iTunes for a long time. I actually had to change mine a few years ago when
I don't even know what mine is.
I forgot.
How do you find it?
I think if you go like to your app store and then you like look like whatever way you like click on your settings
I'm
and it'll
really
see what
curious.
Your username is.
Okay.
But mine used to be my old pseudonym back in the day, Zach6677. And I remember a few years ago when I had to like get a new phone and for some reason I had to get in my iTunes and they're like, all right, what's your username? And it was like Zach. And they was like,
oh, why is that?
Your name is Miguel, right? And I was like, it's fine. It was a middle school, high school thing. It's fine. Okay. But anyway, Big Boy C.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. He says, yesterday I had a road trip from Tampa to Canada.
Oh, that's a trip.
I'm sorry, a road trip?
Yes.
A road trip.
That's a travel. That's a migration.
Yeah, legit.
From Tampa to Canada. And let me tell you, this podcast, Miguel and Holly Uncensored, made me feel all the feels. Mm. I laughed. I cried. I sympathized. I was even yelling, TTT, at the end of every episode.
Oh.
The dynamic between the three of you is something I've never seen or heard anywhere else.
Wow.
Stay amazing. Signed, your newest Platypus Posse member, Evan.
Oh, thank you, Evan.
Wow. Holy crap.
That was so cool. So thank you so much. And always, you can email us if you want some Miguel and Holly stickers.
Yeah.
Miguel at hot1015tampabay.com. So everybody was on vacation. You know, we sort of staggered it a little bit this year.
By the way, my Apple ID is just O'Connor.Holly.
Like, oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Well, I changed mine to my email address, my personal email address. So I was like, no need for all that.
No need for crazy. Okay, sorry, go ahead. So, yeah, we were on vacation.
Yeah, we were on vacation, and Holly, you were in Orlando.
I was. I did a little adult spring break, so I got to do that Friday through, we came back Monday, which was so needed, and I was able to actually fully unwind and relax, which I think is it made the comeback even more difficult because usually like I tend to carry a lot of stress and anxiety with me even on vacation. And then when I get back, I'm just like, well, back to the grind.
Oh.
But this time I did not. So it was yesterday was tough.
Oof.
Weirdly, not really at work here.
Right.
But at home, getting back into a routine was difficult, but it was so much fun while we were there.
What all did you do?
So we went to Universal on Friday and tasted, it was like the last of the Mardi Gras, you know, food and wine type of thing. It was their Mardi Gras festival. So we did that, took some pictures, had some fun with that. We always go in the morning. So this was different. We went in the afternoon and stayed till the evening, which I never do. And it felt very much like I was about to experience Halloween Horror Nights.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it felt like, because I'm not used to being in the park in the evening. And so I was like, what is this feeling? I was like, oh, it feels like I'm about to go into a haunted house.
Yeah. I just got goosebumps for Halloween Horror Nights. That is such a fun experience.
I know.
I love it.
It's fun and scary and fun. Ah, it's so fun. So, of course, I bought more Harry Potter shit, and it's whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just
give them all your
stuff.
Money.
Well, my person told me, and what this was going to be a Christmas present, because, you know, when you go into the stores at Universal, they have, like, your typical, like, I have my ID badge here that's Ravenclaw. Like, they have a bunch of tchotchkes and stuff. But they also, in, like, glass cases, have, like, the Horcruxes, like, the real stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So he's real like, expensive. I want to start to get you, like, for your birthday or for Christmas, like, a Horcrux until we have the whole collection. And I was like, yes! I'm like, wait, you want to spend that money? He's like, well, do you want those things? And I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, I kind of do.
Yes.
I don't know where in God's name I'm going to put them. My house is not that big. But whatever. So we were like, oh, let's get one. They were out. Like, apparently there's like a big rush on some of these things. I don't know. I wanted the Rowena Ravenclaw diadem.
Oh,
they didn't have any. There was none in the park. So we ended up getting like the house crests for each of our houses that I can then hang on a wall. So, of course, that was the stuff that I bought. I buy things. But one of them was my Christmas present.
I love it.
So that was that's how we did Universal. Go ahead.
I was going to say about the Harry Potter stuff. I was chatting with, we got our special callers.
Oh.
And then we'll get back to your vacation after that. But I have a fun story about Abe and Harry Potter stuff.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
Excited for that.
Is this Steve, Kramer, and Jess? Oh.
Are we on hold?
They put us on hold.
Get them on the phone, but put them on hold.
Yes. Oh, let's listen to their radio station in Baltimore. Hey.
Y'all
not
hear us?
Wow. No, now we can.
We're just sitting here doing our podcast and listening to your top of the hour.
Did they pay you money to like pimp out that new name and then that's why you put it on our podcast? Is that it? That's what it is.
See you guys later. I don't know why you can't hear us. We have you guys up, so hang on. I'm going to try one more time. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, no, not this song.
Need somebody.
No.
Miguel hates Lewis Capaldi.
Listen, when people ask me all the time, they're like, do you like all the songs that you play? And I'm like, and then like I smile, and then there's like a small tear that rolls down my eye. And I'm like, yes, I love all of Tampa Bay's new hit music. Not this one.
Yeah, he really does not like him.
I know.
I still mean, like
we're going to have to interview him one day, and it's going to be real awkward.
I promise you, because I've watched interviews with Lewis Capaldi, and he seems to have a really great sense of humor. I'm going to be like, oh, they're probably going to call back.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be like, Lewis, you know.
He writes it. He loves it. He sings from the heart.
Listen, that is one of those songs, because I like him as a person, but that song, when you hear it every hour and you hear him singing somebody you love, you're like,
I need somebody to love.
Like the first couple times I heard it, I was like, yes, who is this? Oh my God, get it. And then that's what radio does.
Well, yeah, we heard it probably, you know, 15 million times.
Yes,
now.
We will punch it in your gut, in your face, in your psyche, in your soul.
Yeah.
That's why whenever there is a song that I like and I know that we are starting to like ramp it up on hot,
yeah,
I stop listening to it.
Yeah, because you're going to hear it all the time.
Yeah, like Dua Lipa Levitating. I am in like that song. That's one of those songs sort of like Shake It Off by Taylor Swift that like I just never want it to end. Like I just love it every time I hear it.
Yeah.
But I've had to like back off of it because I know that I can tell we're going to be playing that song for a long time.
But see, I don't feel like I've ever Oh, this is weird. Like, there's the phone. I feel like I've never heard a song go on and on and on that I've loved. Like, it's always, like, the most, either to me, annoying or bland or, like, kind of wallpapery songs that get the 2-year treatment on radio.
Oh.
What are y'all doing?
Oh, my
over there?
Gosh.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. This sounds like when we tried to do the video thing and it didn't work on our end, but it worked on their end.
I wonder if they have a cable out of place.
I know, right? It's so funny, like, radio technology, like, we don't have, like, we have engineers, but we don't have them, like, helping us in, like, day-to-day, like, every broadcast.
No.
And so when we're trying to just connect like this, it's like, oh, we just got to figure it out.
We got to push a couple buttons and pull a couple.
Baltimore's best music mix.
Oh. Did they hang up?
Yep.
Oh.
He needs to call your phone and tell you what's going on.
All right. Maybe he'll text me back. But, yeah, what about Blinding Lights for you, Holly? Like,
you're right. Never mind. I spoke too soon. I still like Blinding Lights, which is weird because it's been on the radio for, like, 2 years now.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't, like, love it anymore. But if it comes on, I'm still over here like, na, 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 na,
dab.
A little dabbing. Like, I don't mind it. I think that's probably one of the only songs that I can say that about. Because, like, Louis Capaldi has been out here bleeding at us for a long time now. Like, and I can't. And then there's been other songs by the likes of, like, Zara Larsson that also happened to stick around for a long time that I would be like, Jesus! I'm like, do y'all even know what this is anymore? Or is this just, like, audio wallpaper to you? I don't know. But, like, I think The Weeknd was able to do it. And that's saying something, considering he did the halftime show. We hosted the Super Bowl. It was basically like they put that song on a loudspeaker in the city of Tampa and St. Pete and just played it on a loop for about 2 months. Apparently, that was the only song ESPN knew to play from The Weeknd, because when they talked about the Super Bowl, it was that song. But that's the only one I can think of. Can you think of any other ones that have been like long? What are they called? Like long hit, long. Whatever they are.
Like gold?
Yeah.
The gold records?
Gold records that did not get annoying or obnoxious.
I'm trying to,
I like it, Cardi B. Did you get tired of that one?
No, I never got tired of that one.
I didn't even think we played it that long. That's how much I liked it.
Yeah, no. I think it was like a year we played it. I think it was, because that was like her big top 40 breakout hit.
Then maybe I'm mistaken, and I'm willing to obviously say when I'm mistaken. Maybe it's just that I only know the ones that I hate.
True.
That stick around a long time. Because for me, I didn't even think that Cardi B song was around for that long. That's how much I liked it.
Oh, that's good.
Well, and I feel like, because, like, Scott, you're at the beginning of your radio career, so you haven't experienced some of those songs that, especially when we were doing Throwback Thursdays, and we would play a song that we played a lot maybe, like, 10 years ago when we lived other places. And as a radio person, it just, like, smacks you back, and you're like, I'm still not ready for that song.
Do you know what song I heard this weekend while I was in Orlando?
What?
I like it. It was from like 2013. I drove my car into a bridge.
Let it burn. I don't care. I love it.
Like, that's the song I heard at a bar. And I was just like, someone rip the speaker off. Please. No. I hated that. I didn't even like it when it was on. So that's probably why it registers in my brain that it's been on for a long time, because I don't really like it. So maybe it's just that.
Are there any songs for you yet, Scott, that you don't like yet, even though you're, what, 3 years into your radio career?
I think we're playing a song right now, like literally right now, and it's You Broke Me First, Tate McRae. I know it hasn't been on long, but I discovered that song before we started playing it by a different artist, and I loved it. Like, I am an emotional song lover. So, Louis Capaldi, I love you. But that song, it was one of those that I would listen to every day. And now we play this version, and it's like, it just kind of sucked the soul out of it. I was like, dang it, I really enjoyed that song. And now I don't anymore. That's just one that's like a recent example. But a good majority of it, I still like, a lot of songs I still vibe to. But I'd have to look through the list on what we played for a long time.
I think it's because you're new. I don't have many songs from my early days in radio. And I mean, I was in country, so it's different. But like, actually, it's not different. It's just I didn't have many songs that I truly didn't like that would, like, hang around. And if there were, I don't remember them. And then I'm trying to think, like, when I first got to Panama City, like, late 07. You know, I give Taylor Swift some props on Love Story because it launched in country first in like 07. And I was, and we played the shit out of it. Romeo with the guitar version. And then right when I moved to Panama City to start on Top 40 is exactly when that song went from country to Top 40. So I swear to God, that song was on a rotation of about every 2 to 3 hours for like 3 years of my radio career. And I didn't really hate it. By the time it was getting to be the end, I was like, anytime.
You're like, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm ready for the next one.
Please. I think all of her 1989 album that came out, I was like good with all of those songs. Like, if we still played those songs, I would be okay with it.
Yeah, they were good. That was what radio needed at that time.
I'm trying to think of songs. You know what's interesting is, like, I'm curious for Scott, like, right now, at the beginning of your career, there's going to be a song right now or maybe from a year ago that in 10 years, if you're working somewhere else, you're going to hear it and it's going to bring you like right back to this room, to where you were sitting. Like, to me, I remember when we started in Panama City and I was doing the morning show with you, Holly, and Kramer, who were trying to get on.
Yeah.
And I was also doing nights at the time. And it was Cardinal Official. Dangerous.
God, it's a dangerous,
dangerous, dangerous, dangerous, dangerous, dangerous, dangerous, that girl.
Yeah.
I just, like, anytime I hear that song, it takes me right back to Island 106.
Yeah.
And I remember being in that studio and just everything was so new and different.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember the smell of the room, the feel of the board, talking on the radio and, like, being on my own for the first time at night. Mm. Like, that song brings me, it punches me right back to 2008 every time I hear it.
Yeah. I always like the Panama City classic, Baby, Are You Down, 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 Down,
Down, Down, Down.
Okay, well, maybe.
You don't need to sing them all.
That's okay. I got it. yeah, but
down,
that one.
Down, 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 we're good. Down, down.
We're good.
And I still love that song. All right, anyway, so are they coming or not?
I don't know. He's still trying, so we'll just keep going. So you back onto your, the story I had about Abe and the Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, tell.
So we've decided that, you know, whenever we do move on our own, and he's, like, said it a couple of times, because I've always thought that my Harry Potter decorations that I have are very tasteful that I have throughout the house, that they're not, you know, you have to look for them. They're not obvious.
Yeah.
You know, they're not anything, like, I don't have a cloak just sitting out as soon as you walk through the front door.
You have to wear it when you walk in the house.
I'm sorry, if you did, are you judging?
No, not at all.
Does
anybody
here have them like that?
No, but I'm just saying.
Because I don't have a cloak.
Ah, right. I was going to say.
I have an entire Harry Potter bookshelf that's right in the entrance of my house.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's okay.
But it's a bookshelf, but you know what, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, it's now our house, you know, it's not just mine, whereas before, I was like, well. And so he's been like, well, you know, we're going to make sure that we have a 3-bedroom house for, like, you know, our room, a guest bedroom, and your office / another guest room. And we can put all your Harry Potter stuff there. And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, we have some of the portraits. And, you know, I have, like, the Ministry of Magic sign on the guest bathroom toilet.
Yeah.
And it points down, you know. And he's like, yeah, those are cute.
Oh,
that's exactly. No, that makes sense. So that's exactly what an office is there for, though. Like, that's where you'd put all your. Oh, here we go. Like, because I like Harry Potter, but, like, that's what you would go. You'd go to your office. It's your escape. It's like, that's your space. That'd be perfect. I'm with Abe here. That makes sense.
Okay,
where
but
else
what
you
if
gonna
you
have
don't
all this
have
stuff?
An office? Well, that's my problem right now.
Well, in that case, then yeah, a bookshelf is a great place for it too.
I'm running out of room. It's because I did a lot of Lego sets during quarantine, so I don't know what to do with those.
Well,
now.
See, Holly, here's what you do: you have a 7-year-old, and so in a couple of years, when she's like Harry Potter reading age, then she'll get into it, and then you can just use her room to have your stuff, and you're like. I've been buying all of this Harry Potter stuff for you.
It's for you.
Yes.
Don't think that I didn't put thought into how she might feel when my person and I got our own crest. I, of course, got Ravenclaw.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Hufflepuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shout out.
And I was like, Maya's going to be upset that she don't get one. But I'm like, but really, I don't know what house she's in.
Exactly.
She's not
she has
old
to
enough.
Discover that. Yeah.
And we've done like kid tests and stuff. And it's ping ponged. It's told her both Gryffindor and Ravenclaw. So I'm like, We'll just wait.
Well, she's probably a Gryffindor, but
well, you know, probably. I feel like absolutely. Maya's definitely a Gryffindor.
I believe so.
but you know what I feel like you should make it is sort of like when we were freshmen in high school, the big tradition at our school was when you were a senior during the football season, you wore camo pants or something camo and black because our school colors were green, black, and something else. And so, like, I'm not a camo person, but you did it when you were a senior. Oh. And so I remember the last day of school, my junior year, when I got home, my mom was like, all right, let's go get you some camo. Yeah. I know you're excited. And I could not wait to wear camo that first Friday of the football season, even though I wanted nothing to do with the football team at the time. Whatever. And I wasn't going to a game. Should but I love the spirit of it. And so maybe it's something that you can get her excited about for Harry Potter is like, hey, once you get through all of them, once you get old enough, then we'll find what your house is. And it's like this exciting thing that she can look forward to.
Okay, so we got to wait till she reads all the books.
Or whatever.
Maybe I'll say like, okay. Well, you know what? The kids in Harry Potter, they choose when they're 11. So maybe after the first book,
yes.
I'll be like, I'm going to do the official Hogwarts, that website sorting hat.
Yes.
We will choose your house, and then we will get you all the stuff.
I love it.
Ooh, I'm excited.
I think we have them on the phone now.
You guys are so, you're so cool with Hogwarts over here.
Yeah, oh yeah, we are.
Okay, bitch. Calm down, okay? This ain't 2008 no more, mother...
Oh, wow. It's been a day.
Hey. Listen, first things first, I want you to admit that you lie to your listeners. I'm over here trying to run a major market morning show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, Miguel, can we talk to you after on our Uncensored podcast? After the radio show. And Miguel's like, yeah, it's fine. We start ours about 9:40. I'm like, how in the world do you start a podcast if you're still doing a radio show then? Friend?
Listen, we've always said
this
it's radio
magic.
Okay?
That happens. Yes. Much like Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. Radio magic.
Mm-hmm. We believe in magic here.
Yeah, we do.
Good way to wrap it back around. How are you guys?
Good.
Wonderful. How are you all?
We're good.
You know,
haven't seen the sun in days, but I think it's still up there, so that's cool.
Oh. Oh,
is it still cold in Baltimore?
Let's just stop.
No, it's hot and cold. Like, I feel like the weather here in Maryland is almost like a mood ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just no way to gauge it, and you have no idea what's going on. And
very vibey.
It's kind of like a magic eight ball where it's like, ooh, undecided.
What are you feeling
Come
today?
Come back later. I don't know.
Well, apologies for the technical issues that we had earlier. Listen, I know we're tight on time. I need to talk to Miguel specifically about gay.
Oh, okay. Gay.
So the big news today is obviously we're coming on the heels of Colton Underwood. And he just came out. Of course, Colton was The Bachelor, 2014, Jeff? Do you remember?
No, 2019.
Oh, wow. He was The Bachelor. He was on Becca's season in 2018, yeah. And he was on Bachelor in Paradise.
Now, Colton just came out as gay, right? He was obviously not gay on The Bachelor. I'm just genuinely curious, Miguel, to kind of break this down. Obviously, for those who don't know, Miguel is a gay man.
Gay.
How does this happen? Like, how explain to us like the mindset of how this happened? And I guess the only part I can't really figure out in this whole thing is how do you go forward and present yourself as like literally the straightest man in America?
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, literally, there's not a straighter person like than the person that's like, I'm a single man looking to marry a woman.
Right.
Man. And I'm a virgin, too.
And I'm now going to be on a show with, you know, 19 to 20 women trying
throwing
to, like...
themselves at
yeah. us. And yeah. I get to go on dates and all that stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well...
Like, what has happened? Do you have any insight on this? The news just broke a couple hours ago. You're the first person I thought of. Miguel's really great at breaking these kind of things down. And I can ask questions that I feel might be a little bit ignorant, but, like, I just feel confused by this one.
Right. And you know what? These sort of situations are obviously very confusing if you are not gay and you've never dealt with those feelings before. But to me, it made perfect sense because from what I can gather, like, to be completely honest, I don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. So I only know about it from what Scott would give his updates at the time. And so just from sort of living through that. And so I don't know how he was, but from what I get is that he's sort of like a religious person or faith is very important to him. And so a lot of times what I found is that you as a young kid, like, there was never a moment when you, Kramer or Jess or Scott or Holly, that you said, I am straight. You just knew that when you were younger, ooh, I kind of like being close to the person of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. You didn't label it. I always felt that way when I was growing up. I was like, ooh, I like to be close to my friend Blake. And I didn't understand. There was nothing sexual about it. I just like to be around him. And then as you get older and you start to understand what those feelings mean, you have a choice. Not a choice in your sexuality. You have a choice on if you want to live in your authenticity. So depending upon how you grow up, if you grow up with, and I mean, to be honest, in 2021, with our generations, we know it and we can speak on it. A lot of religions don't like that and they look down on it. The religion I grew up in was like, gay is wrong. Gay is a sin. So I would sit in church every weekend and I would hear the sermons about how homosexuality is wrong. So if you are, we all are impressionable at that age, but depending upon your personality, like maybe Colton was a really, really big people pleaser and his dad, and maybe he has parents that are very sort of nuclear, like, ooh, you're going to be, you're our son and you're going to be the football player and you're going to be the woman. Womanizer or whatever, you know, when you're growing up. And so all those expectations are put on you when you're trying to figure out what this feeling is inside of you. And so by the time you realize and you can put a name to it, you're like, oh my gosh, my church says it's bad. Society says it's bad. And so then you just push it down and you're like, well, that's not a real thing. That's just like a feeling I get. Like maybe everybody feels that way.
I know that he did do research. Like his dad had found like, why do I not want to have sex with my girlfriend in Google searches? Or like, why do am I gay? Like he did those Google searches and then his dad like, you want to talk about something? And he's like, no, don't tell mom. Like it was just very, they never talked about it.
Right.
And it was, you know, perhaps traumatic and he needed to hide that.
Right.
I don't know.
And that happens a lot. I mean, I have a good friend of mine that is in his, I think, late 40s, early 50s. He was married for 25 years. Has two beautiful daughters, and he got to a point to where he was like, this is not my reality. Like, I did this for society because I didn't want to be judged, but he couldn't live in that non-real life anymore, and so he had to come out. And so to me, it makes perfect sense how someone would be, like, why did he go on The Bachelor when he was still a virgin? How do you prove that you are a man's man and you push down those feelings to prove to the world that I'm not gay? Well, you go on The Bachelor and you have all these women.
And that's, I guess that's kind of where my question was coming in. I mean, do you think all of that was to try to prove how not gay I am? Oh, y'all think I'm gay. I'm so not gay. Look over me. I'm
the bad.
I mean, to anybody. I mean, where does that come from? Like, was it to himself? Was it to his, like,
I think it was to himself.
Absolutely.
Who are you trying to satisfy at the end of the day? And, like, if you can tell yourself you're not gay, then you've won.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think Jess was right to ask. I think it was to himself. And then secondarily to anybody else. His friends, his parents, whoever. I don't know. But I think possibly trying, and maybe we don't even know, this could have been subconscious. He's trying to test himself. If I can find a woman out of these hot 20 something, you know, women that are literally throwing themselves at me, then like I can't go wrong with that.
Right.
So then I'll definitely figure this out.
Right. And I mean, and I can tell you that before I came out, like before I told the first person I ever, well, I actually started like on the internet. Like when we first got the internet my freshman year of high school. And I would be in chat rooms under a different name and I would talk to different guys and it was like, oh, I'm gay. I'm 14 and I just want to connect with other gay teens. The first time I told someone, leading up to that moment, everything in my life was about proving that I wasn't gay. Everything. I mean, and I have...
You did not want to get discovered. It was like that big of a deal to you that like you're like, I'll do everything to be... straight.
Absolutely, because, and especially, because I don't know how old Colton is, but I'm assuming he's probably in his late 20s or early
30s.
29. So when you've come up in this generation where it was like half of society was like, it's kind of okay, like, yeah. for, like, what we consumed as teens back then, like, all the shows we watched on, like, the WB or MTV, they would have the gay character, and it was like, okay, it's kind of okay. Mm. But then, like, at the time, with the politics where they were, with where even, you know, like, the liberals, quote-unquote, back in the day were like, well, I don't believe in gay marriage. Everything was saying, do not be that person. And so you want to prove with everything in your might that you are not gay. And so that's why you have a lot of people that end up not coming out until they're unfortunately like married with kids. Right. And then they finally get to the point where they can just let go of that fear and live in their truth.
Do you think you're going to come out a straight one day or no?
Actually, you know, I've been looking at Holly all these years, and I'm just like,
it's finally happening.
Oh. It's time.
Well, that's wild. It's so funny to me that Miguel even had to come out. I mean, Miguel and I have been friends for years now. And I every now and then Miguel will post like a Throwback Thursday picture or something. I'm like, how could anyone question? You know, like, Miguel is always in a costume or in some type of performance or something was going on over here. I don't even remember the story of you coming out, especially to your mom. Miguel has a single mom. I don't think I know that story.
Yeah, so, I mean, and remember, like, the Miguel that you see now is not the Miguel that was trying to be in the closet.
Right.
I would lower my...
Imagine that. Like, what is the difference, by the way? I need to know at trying to act straight, Miguel. Like, what goes through your head when you're like, okay, act straight?
Everything is ruled by it. So, for instance, I'm trying to think of my mindset back then. Like, now, if I walk to the bathroom, or if I'm just... We talked about this today. How, like, I will sashay down the hallway if I feel like it. You know, like, that's just me. Whatever. I have a song in my head, and I'm just sashaying whatever. I would never do that. I would never be too talkative. I would physically lower my voice so it wouldn't be too high. I remember it wasn't until college, I think, that I would let out that I loved pop music back then. Like, when I was in high school, before I came out, I was like, oh, my God, I love Incubus. Like, I love... Korn.
It's so fabulous, isn't it? They're like, wait a minute.
Right. But no, those sort of descriptive words weren't used. Like, it wasn't Miguel now imitating a straight person. That's just who I was.
Right,
I had not come into my authentic self then.
It was your shield.
Exactly. And so everything was protecting it.
Did you ever have to, like, pretend like you were straight as in the sense of, like, talk about women in, like, a straight manner?
No. Because I never hung around guys that would talk about stuff like that. I lived a really weird life in high school and middle school because I lived so far away from my high school and middle school that I didn't hang out with people outside of school. So it was like we were in school, like, you know, doing work, and I would be in clubs like student council or, you know, stuff like that. And so it never came up. Mm. And so as we got older, and, like, especially the kids from my church, they would be like, oh, you know, Marcus got a girlfriend and David got a girlfriend, Orlando got a girlfriend. And I was like, well, I'm trying to get into college. I don't have time for that. And so
always something else you were working on.
Absolutely. So there's always a way to hide it. So I truly feel for Colton because I can't imagine the pressure that he felt, because I remember what it felt like at 15, when I finally came out to my guidance school counselor. And the relief that came off of my shoulders. And I was just one kid in a little high school. So I can't imagine after you've come off of The Bachelor and being America's guy for, you know, that season, that's not your truth.
Right.
It's almost like you have so much. Yeah, every year has probably got more and more bullshit that you almost have to unravel. You know what I mean? Like, oh, now I'm a football player. Oh, shit. Okay, I'm in the locker room. I just, you know, whatever. Like, I love girls. It's fine. And all, I'm on The Bachelor. I'm just a contestant. Oh, now I'm The Bachelor. You know,
right.
Like, I'm the guy. It's like, I can't imagine having that kind of stress. And so, I mean, obviously, we're all in the same mindset of, like, what a relief that must be for this man, you know, to finally be able to speak his truth and be himself. I mean, wait, so tell us, I know you guys are on quick time, but can you tell us the story of when you came out to your mom? Because Miguel's mom, how would you define your mom to those that maybe listen to our show that don't know anything about you?
She is a colorful character who will speak her mind. She is very outspoken in her beliefs and what she believes to be true, and she will tell it like it is.
She's literally one of my favorite people ever because she is just so raw. Like, she's the kind of person you can call up. We would, like, call her in the middle of a morning show or something. And, like, you know it's going to be funny and it's just going to be uncensored. And, like, you have to be kind of nervous. You always got to be kind of on eggshells because you're not quite sure where it's going to go. Miguel's mom also, does she still think I'm gay to this day, Miguel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, probably.
Miguel's mom still thinks that I'm gay. I'm almost 40 years old, by the way. I mean, it could happen.
Yeah. It could.
I, listen, yeah, I've seen people come out in later years.
What did she say when you came out to her?
So I was writing for an online magazine, a teen magazine, and I had written stories about discrimination and stuff like that leading up to this article I wrote where it was basically telling the story about how someone realized they were gay. So, like, I remember, and it was obviously based off of my experience at the time. So I remember, like, playing Smear the Queer in elementary school with the other guys. And I don't remember the article now, but it was all these little, like, anecdotes of, like, these childhood games that you would play with these awful names that when you finally realize what they mean, you're like, holy crap, that is awful that we used to play that.
I never heard of that. What in the hell?
Oh, yeah.
Smear the Queer. I don't. Is that a Southern thing, Miguel? I don't know. Because it's basically it's like dodgeball, right? It's
yes.
Like one man dodgeball.
If I remember correct, I think we used to like
play like if you had the ball like that, you'd go and like tackle the person or
what
something like that.
What the fuck?
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, are you serious?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was a game. But in the article, I talked about how this guy realized that he had been playing all these games like that. And then when people started getting girlfriends in, like, early high school, he was like, well, I'm not really interested in it. And then he realizes that he's gay. I don't remember how it ended, but I remember we put it in the online magazine, and then I sent my mom the link to it and said, hey, what do you think of? And I sent her, like, three. It was, like, one about, like, MLK, one about the gay kid, and, like, something else about politics. And she, like, read them all, and she was like, I really loved them. I thought it was great. So the one about the gay kid was, is that based on you? And I was like, no, not at all. No, not in the least. Because I wasn't planning on coming out at the time.
Like, but why, as a parent now, I know my child.
Right.
Like, and you struggle sometimes because you don't want to be like, did you do this because of XYZ? And they're right. Like, no. And I'm like, bitch, I know you did. So I know your mom was like, oh, I see. This is him telling me that he's gay. So like,
right. But at the time, you know, when you're a kid, you don't think that far ahead.
And you don't think your parent knows you the way that they do.
Right. And so you're like, no, I'm not gay, girl. What you talking about? Everything's fine. And so then we hang up. We stop talking. And then about 30 minutes later, after I'd really sat and stewed in it, I was like, I need to tell her. So then I called her and I was like, Mom, that story was about me. I am gay. And she was fine. And then she was like, well, have you told anyone else? And I was like, yeah, I've told my counselor and a couple of friends at school. And then she got mad at me that she wasn't the first person that I had told.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, but unfortunately, we've got to run. We've got to go talk to our boss. Bye, y'all. Oh,
bye.
Love you. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye. I love people say bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Scott, what's all your social media?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
Holly.
Radio, Holly. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram.
Miguel Fuller. You can find me everywhere there.
Why are you creepy?
That actually kind of sounds nice in the ears, though. That was actually it was good.
Is like, it sort of like that ASMR?
Well, no, if I don't think it's you, then it's kind of nice. But now that I know it's you, it's weird.
Hello, Scott. No. All right, we will see you all on Friday. Bye.
Catch up with the previous episodes of the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast from Hot 101.5.
Just hit up the Hot 101.5 app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Search Miguel and Holly Uncensored.